Well, they all promise it. Clintons, Bushes, Obama, they all say in US elections, let's recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. Let's move the US embassy and put it from Tel Aviv into Jerusalem. I often think they do it during elections because they want to get support and votes. And there are millions of Jewish votes in America. But, you know, none of them ever deliver because they know that if they do, they'll get condemned on the international stage. The European Union and others will say this is wrong, it's unfair, and it's provocative to the Palestinian cause. But Donald Trump, of course, is, well, what can we say? He's Donald Trump, isn't he?
Today we officially open the United States Embassy in Jerusalem. Congratulations. It's been a long time coming. Israel is a sovereign nation with the right, like every other sovereign nation, to determine its own capital. Yet for many years, we failed to acknowledge the obvious. Today, we follow through on this recognition and open our embassy in the historic and sacred land of Jerusalem.
So the big day has happened today. Jared Kushner, Ivanka were there at the grand opening. A lot of American politicians I saw there too, congressmen, senators. Benjamin Netanyahu, absolutely thrilled and delighted with what has occurred.
President Trump became the first world leader to recognize Jerusalem as our capital. Thank you. Thank you, President Trump, for having the courage to keep your promises.
On the border, and there's been mounting violence on this border with Gaza. 40 to 50 people have been killed over the course of the last month. Well, today, inspired by Hamas, there have been mass demonstrations and threats of breaching that wall. In response to that, the IDF, the Israeli Defense Force, have been using snipers, using artillery, and 50 people have died today, along with well over 1,000 people that have been injured. Now, this, of course, is being taken by the international community, the United Nations, the European Union, and many others, as firstly saying that Trump was wrong to move the embassy because it was provocative, and secondly, it's being used directly as a criticism of the Israelis. Nothing new, you might think, in any of that. But think of it like this. All the Israelis are doing is they are defending their borders. Something, in fact, that Brexit voters and Trump voters asked our governments to do, albeit in not quite such violent or difficult circumstances. And secondly, Hamas have deliberately actually been paying people to stand there and demonstrate, including children, because they want to, as much as they can, ruin the opening of this embassy, ruin this big day for Netanyahu and for the Israeli people. And Hamas want Israel wiped off the face of the map. Think about that. They're not just critical neighbours, they actually want them to be destroyed. And I know it's easy sometimes to think we should be deeply critical of what Israel does, but imagine if you were surrounded by neighbours who wanted you obliterated and wiped off the face of the earth. I believe in nation states. I believe in national sovereignty. I believe in the right of people to determine their own futures. Well, I kind of would, wouldn't I, really? Because I wanted Brexit, because I believe this country should govern itself. So I find myself actually much more sympathetic towards the Israeli government than most of the rest of the international community. I'm not saying everything Israel has done over the last decades has been perfect, but their right to defend their integrity, their right to say that Jerusalem is their capital, I think they're entitled to all of those things. And all I can say is well done, Donald Trump. Now, Brexit is having a very, very difficult time. I would like to laugh off David Miliband, the former Foreign Secretary, Labour Party member who now, of course, works in New York for a charity. He gets $500,000 a year working for a charity. Not bad, is it? I know one of their funders is George Soros. Perhaps that helps. Who's to say? But David Miliband's back in London. He's there with Nick Clegg, the former Deputy Prime Minister, or I should say Sir Nick Clegg, and Nicky Morgan, Conservative former Education Secretary. And they're all saying that things have got to change. We must not have a hard Brexit. We must not leave the economic structures of the European Union. Otherwise, terrible things will happen.
A commitment to the hardest of hard Brexits is, in my view, holding the negotiations and the negotiators to ransom. But it didn't need to be like this.
You know, I heard all these arguments nearly 20 years ago when it came to joining the euro. If we don't join the euro, foreign and direct investment will leave, the country will become a total and utter disaster. All these people are doing is they are replaying the arguments of the referendum, but on top of that, they are disrespecting the vote of the British people. And there is now a dishonest redefinition of what a hard Brexit is. Hard Brexit now, to them, is not just leaving the single market and the customs union. Hard Brexit is not having full regulatory alignment. Now, I know that big businesses, the Japanese investors and others have been lobbying the government and lobbying our politicians like crazy. They want nothing to change. They don't want a world in which new competition can challenge the supremacy they've got. And I'm afraid our politicians are dancing to that tune. They are totally, in the eyes of any Democrat, behaving in a repulsive manner. But it's not funny. I'd love to laugh it off, but we will face, probably within the next 2 to 3 weeks, one of the most important parliamentary votes of modern times. If this lot, if our MPs, our political class, vote against us leaving the customs union, they'll be voting to stop us making our own trade deals with the USA and elsewhere. They'll be voting effectively to keep us part, certainly the economic part, of the European Union. And if that happens, then one of Mrs. May's red lines in her manifesto has gone. We could be facing, within the next month or two, we could be facing a new Prime Minister, a general election, a second referendum, or a massive watering down of what the British people voted for in 2016. I feel we're in for a very dramatic political summer. I, at the moment, can't tell you which way this will go. Spin a coin. But hey, hold on tight. Keep listening to Farage Against the Machine. You can subscribe directly on iTunes. And as I say, stay close, because this is going to be a hairy ride.